Hello everyone and welcome to Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. Tonight we are starting a new season. This is season 6 of Demimonde Paranormal. If you are new here, welcome. And as you guys may or may not know, I'm Tori, your host for tonight's episode. In tonight's episode, we will be talking about a very famous person's home that happens to be extremely haunted. You may know her as Loretta Lynn, a country music legend. And we will also be talking about a very famously haunted place called Bobby Mackey's Music World. Now, you may have heard of these places through the Travel Channel or through Ghost Adventures or even celebrity ghost stories. But tonight, we're going to be taking a deeper look into these hauntings and get the full scoop of the stories behind these terribly haunted locations. So join me, won't you, as we dive in deep into the darkness, and as we are all snug and cozy in our houses or in our beds, while it's icing and snowing outside, it's time to get spooked. Okay, welcome everyone to Demimonde Paranormal, Episode 1, Season 6. Can you guys believe that Demimonde Paranormal Podcast has been around long enough to have 6 seasons? I mean, it's been one heck of a wild ride over these past 2 years that we've been doing these podcasts, but it's been a good time. It's been a really fun time. I enjoy doing them. I enjoy doing the research. And I hope you guys, you know, like listening to me ramble about the paranormal. And if you guys haven't already, we have a little paranormal group on Facebook.com by the same name that you see here. Just delete the podcast part and just Google in Demimonde Paranormal and we should come up in the search bar on Facebook.com. And feel free to join our little private paranormal group. We talk about things all supernatural, all day and all night. We share videos, clips. We share videos, clips, podcasts, articles, you name it. Everything supernatural or paranormal, we'll cover it one way or another. So, before we get started in tonight's topics, I want to ask you guys, how are you guys doing tonight? How's your 2022 going so far? And if you're in this area or any area that's affected by the ice storm that's happening right now outside, how are you guys coping? You guys doing all right? I hope you guys are, you know, staying safe and staying warm or drinking hot cocoa by the fire and having something delicious by your side while you listen to a Demimonde Paranormal. But without any further ado, let's get started into tonight's topics. And before we go to visit Loretta Lynn's haunted ranch, we're going to Bobby Mackey's Music World. Now, a lot of you guys may have heard of Bobby Mackey's Music World through a plethora of paranormal shows. This includes Ghost Adventures and many other ghost hunting shows, such as Taps and Ghost Hunters. I feel like a lot of teams had visited Bobby Mackey's. But if you guys have never heard of this place, I'm going to give you guys a quick run-through of the dark history and the ghosts and ghouls that seem to haunt the music club in the area. Now, Bobby Mackey's is located in Wilder, Kentucky. In today's age, Bobby Mackey's Music World is a popular nightclub full of dancing and good times. But it wasn't all this way, and it has quite the sinister past. It was originally a slaughterhouse. Now, on the same site as the music club now stands, back in the day, in 1850, a large slaughterhouse and meatpacking facility was constructed to serve northwestern Kentucky and nearby Cincinnati, Ohio. In the lowest part of the building, a well was dug and was used to hold the blood, the guts, and the waste from the slaughtered animals. Some researchers have speculated that after the slaughterhouse was closed in the 1890s, satanic cult activity took place in the building around the well. Animals and possibly even humans were being slaughtered here for ritualistic purposes during secret meetings. Now, of course, that's all speculation. Even more disturbingly enough, in 1896, the murder of a 22-year-old Pearl Bryan, who was a small-town girl from Greencastle, Indiana, made headlines in the region when her headless corpse was discovered in a field less than 2 miles from the slaughterhouse. Now, Pearl was pregnant, and her boyfriend, his name was Scott Jackson, who was a student at the Ohio College of Dental Surgery, urged her to come to Cincinnati, where he could arrange to have an abortion. Jackson and his roommate, Alonzo Walling, attempted the abortion themselves, but something went terribly wrong, as one does when you don't know what you're doing. And after Pearl had tragically died, they tried to cover up their tracks, and they put Pearl's body in an empty field and surgically removed her head so her body couldn't be identified. But they left her shoes on, and if they hadn't had left Pearl's shoes on, they wouldn't have been able to have identified the body. And this is when they messed up, and they were convicted of the murder of Pearl Bryan. It is also said that while on the gallows waiting to die, Alonzo Walling vowed to haunt the area forever. Pearl's severed head was never discovered, and some have speculated that Jackson may have had ties to a satanic cult, so the head may have been used in one of the dark rituals held in the basement of the slaughterhouse. Once again, that's purely speculation. So, some years later, the slaughterhouse was demolished in the early part of the 20th century, and the lot that sat empty until the 1920s. And then it became a new building, and it served as a casino, a nightclub, and a speakeasy during Prohibition. Then, when Prohibition had ended in 1933, E.A., or Buck Brady, bought the building and named it the Primrose. And after more than a decade of successful operation, his casino caught the attention of Cincinnati mobsters, who tried to muscle their way into the operation. When Brady refused to sell, violence was brought in, and it escalated. It escalated to the point of fighting, and threats were threatening customers in the parking lot. This went on until Buck drew a gun at a mobster named Albert Red Masterson, and Buck Brady was charged with attempted murder, and then he left the casino business in 1946. So then, The building was reopened as a nightclub called the Latin Quarter in the 1950s. Johanna was a dance hall girl and the daughter of the nightclub's owner, who fell in love with a singer, a guy by the name of Robert Randall, who also performed there. She got pregnant and intended to run off with the young singer, but her father forbade the romance and used his criminal connections to have the young singer killed. When Johanna discovered what had happened, she decided to take her own father's life by poisoning him, and then she decided to take her own life in the basement of the building. In 1978, after a series of fatal shootings at the Rough and Tumble nightclub, the local authorities were forced to close the establishment. But later that year, in 1978, a young country singer by the name of Bobby Mackey purchased the building and turned it into a music hall and tavern that still stands today. Paranormal phenomena have been present since day one, but Bobby Mackey himself is a skeptical. He'll admit that he doesn't doubt the word of family members, employees, and police officers and patrons who had experienced strange activity. Both the clergy and psychics have tried to help, but still, there seems to be a dark force that still lingers there. Some paranormal activity and speculation. Some still believe the building's basement holds the gateway or a portal to hell itself, a reference to the long-abandoned slaughterhouse well. And stairs near the well in the old slaughterhouse have been deemed the stairs that lead to nowhere, and you can hear phantom footsteps that could be heard on these stairs as well. Some believe that spirits can't cross flowing water, so the rare northern current of the Licking River may be keeping the dark forces trapped inside the building. A former caretaker that lived in the apartment upstairs claims to have been demonically possessed by the spirits. His exorcism was performed in the club by a minister. Even a patron claims to have experienced suffocating heat, a flying trash can, and a man with a handlebar mustache repeating, die game, which is apparently Latin for dying well or dying good, in the man's bathroom. Bobby Mackey's wife claims to have been overcome with the scent of roses in the basement. She had been grabbed by the waist, picked up and thrown down, and pushed down the stairs by a force that resembled sketches of Alonzo Walling, and his apparition was screaming, "Get out! Get out!" She refuses to step foot in the club again. And if we remember how Alonzo Walling vowed to haunt the area forever when he was on this gallows for the murder of Pearl Bryan. Bobby Mackey claims not to be a believer, as we said before, but he did write a song called Joanna about the young girl who committed suicide in the basement in the 1950s. Bobby Mackey's friend Doug Hensley wrote the book Hell's Gate, which connects the events of the past with the hauntings of the present. Interestingly enough, historic photos of Pearl Bryan match witnesses' descriptions of a headless ghost dressed in turn-of-the-century clothing, and photos of Buck Brady also match descriptions of ghosts that are often seen in the area. Other hotspots in the club include the Spotlight Room and catwalk over the stage, the well in the basement, the old China Room, and the platform area near the kitchen. Now, people also have heard and seen ghosts in the big pitted mirror in the main room. The club manager claims that on several occasions she would go to the club and make sure everything was turned off and closed down for the night. When hours later, she would find out that the bar lights were still on, and the front doors were unlocked, and a jukebox would be playing, it would be playing the anniversary waltz, even though the jukebox was still unplugged. But it did contain that song. Other club employees had seen a dark, angry man behind the bar in a spirit of someone who called herself Joanna. She would often speak to him and leave the scent of roses in her wake. And it's believed that Joanna used to wear the perfume of roses in her lifetime before she killed herself in the basement. And that's the story of Bobby Mackey's Music World. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Up next, we have our headliner for tonight's episode. This is The Haunting of Hurricane Mills Plantation. Alright, alright, alright. And we're on to the headliner of tonight's spooky little episode. This is The Haunting of Hurricane Mills Plantation, also known as the Loretta Lynn Ranch. So, you guys may have heard of this plantation through Loretta Lynn herself, or you may have heard of it through this little show that used to come on. I think it was Lifetime that used to play it. It was called Celebrity Ghost Stories. And they ran like an hour-long special on how haunted her house was. And this ranch, or this plantation house, is located in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Now, Hurricane Mills, Tennessee is a town that is now completely owned by Loretta Lynn. She moved into the house in the 1960s. I do believe it was 1966, I'm pretty sure. She moved into the house with her husband, Mooney. Now, the house itself is from the 19th century. I believe it was built in the 1850s. And in more recent years, though, Loretta had moved out of that house and moved into a newly built home. She no longer resides in Hurricane Mills Plantation. The house now serves as a museum, an event venue. The grounds serve as campgrounds and a tourist attraction. It sits in a 300-acre area, and this area holds 5 other buildings and 6 other sites. This includes the historic Hurricane Mill, which was built in 1897, and the Hurricane Creek Dam, which was built in 1912, that still stands firm. The ranch is also home to the Hurricane Mills Bridge, which is a steel bridge that was built in 1911 by the Nashville Bridge Company. There is also a school in the Hillman Anderson House that was built in 1876. The Hurricane Mills General Store and the Post Office was built in 1926. Now, some people may know this area as the Hurricane Forge or the Hurricane Mills Rural Historic District. Hurricane Mills is just over an hour from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, as you may know, Loretta Lynn has been an open book about her paranormal encounters and her psychic abilities as she lived in the Hurricane Mills Plantation. So before we go any further, if you guys don't know who we're talking about here, if you don't know who Loretta Lynn is, I'm going to give you a brief bio of this country music legend. So, who is Loretta Lynn? She's a country music musician and songwriter who has a musical career that spans over 6 decades. She even has a movie that told the story of her life that is entitled Coal Miner's Daughter, which is named after one of her hit songs by the same name. The movie starred Tommy Lee Jones and Sissy Spacek that was released in 1980. She also released multiple gold albums. She was born April 14th, 1932 in Butcher Holler, Kentucky. Some of the most famous songs from this country legend is Coal Miner's Daughter, Fist City, One's on the Way, and Don't Come Home a-Drinkin' with Lovin' on the Mind. Loretta was born to Clara Marie and Melvin Theodore Webb. She was the eldest daughter and the second child born to her parents. Her father was a subsistence farmer and a coal miner. Loretta had 7 other siblings. Additionally, 3 of her siblings were also country singers, by the names of Peggy Sue, Crystal Gale, and her brother, a country music songwriter and singer, Willie J. Lee Webb. Furthermore, Loretta is of both Irish and Cherokee descent. She was named after the film star Loretta Young. On the 10th of January in 1948, a just 15-year-old Loretta Webb married a man by the name of Oliver Vannetta Doolittle Lynn. He is also better known as Mooney or Doo, or just plain out Doolittle. They had only met each other 1 month before their marriage, and soon after the wedding, the couple moved to a logging community in Custer, Washington, while Loretta was 7 months pregnant with her first child, 1 of 6 kids. A few years after moving to Wabash, Indiana, Loretta's father died of black lung disease. He died at the age of only 52. He died while living in Wabash with his wife and younger children. Then in 1953, Loretta's husband bought her a $17 harmony guitar, which Loretta taught herself to play. She wrote and sang her own songs, using her own happiness and heartbreak that she endured during the years of being married to Doolittle as inspiration. Now, Loretta's songs were mostly about women's problems, philandering husbands, and pessimistic mistresses. She had a very tumultuous marriage and relationship to Doolittle. With the encouragement, however, of her husband and the improvement of her guitar playing, Loretta started her own band called Loretta and the Trailblazers with her brother Jay Lee on guitar. She often played at Bill's Tavern in Blaine, Washington, and the Delta Grange Hall in Custer, Washington, with the Penn Brothers Band and the Westerneers. In February of 1960, she cut her first album, I'm a Honky Tonk Girl, and then she broke out into the country scene in the 1960s. In fact, in 1967, Loretta hit number one with her single, Don't Come Home a-Drinkin' with Lovin' on Your Mind, and she became the first female country singer to have sold 500,000 copies of her album. So, now we're on to the ghost part, the haunting part, if you will. So now we're to Loretta Lynn's haunted ranch. First of all, you could visit Loretta's haunted plantation home. I think it's still currently closed to visitors. It might be open now, but I'm not sure. But when it is open, I suggest you guys check it out. But anyway, if you do visit the ranch, one thing is for sure, you cannot venture upstairs. The room upstairs is completely off-limit to visitors. That's because this room, known as the Brown Room, is thought to be the most haunted spot in the whole house. This is the bedroom where Loretta Lynn's sons refused to sleep. This is the very same bedroom where the boys had seen a full-bodied apparition of a Confederate soldier attempting to pull the boots off of one sleeping boy as another child woke up and he saw the exact same thing. After they had seen this ghost of a Confederate soldier, naturally the kids came running to their mother, scared to death. And even staff can hear phantom knocking coming from inside the closet. inside the bedroom, but upon further inspection, when the closet door is opened, all that is to be found is Christmas decorations and other things in storage. Furthermore, upon doing some research into the history of the house, Loretta had found out that their house had been the site of a bloody Civil War battle, and 18 Confederate soldiers were thought to have died and have been buried on the property. They also dug up stories of past owners' experiences in the house, long before Loretta and her family had moved into the house. It's been haunted for that long. Loretta's sons aren't the only ones who had seen apparitions of soldiers in the home. Apparently, her daughters had also reported seeing phantom Confederates as well. In the Hurricane Mills plantation, it's not unheard of to hear disembodied voices, phantom footsteps, full-bodied apparitions, and just plain odd occurrences and sights. Even Loretta's grandson reported a strange experience he had as a teenager. He reports that one night the power had gone off and the whole house was completely dark. Now, we make note that the whole house's electricity is on one electrical breaker. So this was odd because all the lights were out in the house. But as Loretta's grandson was walking through the house and he turned a corner, he came to the old chandelier that happened to be burning bright. This did not make a whole lot of logical sense because how could all of the other lights have been knocked out except for the chandelier? Loretta's grandson believes that this and many other experiences turned him into a believer in the paranormal. So now we're on to the what is called the slave pit. So, there is an area in the house known as the slave pit, and Loretta can recall sitting with a friend and hearing ghostly chain rattling emanating from that area. So, on the porch of Hurricane Mills is a small trapped door which leads to a dungeon-like basement with cages and chains hanging from the walls and the ceilings. It is said that the intention of this room is unknown, but it's thought to be a place of cruelty for slaves. One night, as Loretta sat watching TV in her living room with a friend, she caught someone out of the corner of her eye. She saw someone walk across her porch, and she had no clue who it was. And that is when she heard the phantom chains rattling in the basement. Our next piece of paranormal phenomena is the phantom known as the Lady in White. Now, this apparition originally was seen by Loretta's daughter, Peggy. The lady is dressed in a white gown and she is seen in the grounds of the plantation. According to Peggy, one night she could not sleep, so she got up, opened the door to her bedroom, and peered into the hallway. And to her terror, she saw a woman, dressed in white, just staring at her from down the hall. Peggy said that she woke up to the feeling of being watched. Peggy called her nanny, but before the nanny could arrive, the ghost had moved into the bathroom and then completely vanished. After doing some research, Peggy believes that the ghost she had seen was the ghost of the wife of James T. Anderson's son, and she had died after her infant son had passed away. Peggy thinks that the spirit is still looking for her deceased son. It's said that the woman died 2 weeks after the death of her first child, who had died on the first day that he was born. Loretta has seen this apparition as well. She believes it to be Beulah Anderson. She has seen the ghostly woman wandering around the grounds of Hurricane Mills Plantation, and she has seen her in the graveyard located on the property. in the brown room where Loretta's two sons seen the Confederate soldier. It was never a place of rest for Ernest. He recalls the room as always cold no matter what, and he never liked his bedroom. It was always chillingly cold, even in the dead of summers, the sweltering summers of Tennessee. Also, strangely, and this is even more frightening, strangely, in the brown room, a collection of dead insects can be found. I mean, hundreds of dead flies litter the windowsills, and they wither and fall to the floor in the summer months. What makes this especially odd is that even in the winter months, there is a horde of dead bugs infesting the bedroom. Loretta believes that something tragic may have happened in this room, which would explain the otherworldly cold. But what explains the dead flies? Is it something darker? On the grounds of the house, besides the lady in white, there has been multiple sightings of soldiers walking around. A visitor who was fishing on a creek that happens to run through the grounds of Hurricane Mills. As he was going about his business, he saw a Confederate soldier walking across a bridge that goes over the creek. Just before reaching the end of the bridge, the soldier then faded away into nothing. Staff even reports seeing ghosts of Confederate soldiers on the grounds. One staff member saw a pair of soldiers sitting at a campfire just by the same creek. They were having some type of conversation that the staff member could not make out that afternoon. Now, back inside the house, back inside the plantation, Ernest will recall his last night sleeping in his bedroom, the brown room. Once again, the room was extremely cold, and he woke up to see two uniformed soldiers standing by his bedside, watching him sleep. Now I'm going to talk to you guys about the previous owner of the house. This man's name was James T. Anderson, and James T. Anderson played a major part in the home's history and the history of Hurricane Mills. As the former owner of the plantation house, James T. Anderson never left his home, even after death. He was very protective of his house, and he is also thought to be very protective of the framed albums that Loretta had put along the stairway of the house. Loretta has even asked the staff and guides never to touch the albums while they're doing tours. One day, one of the guides did not take heed to Loretta's warnings and reached out to touch one of the framed albums. It's believed that the ghost of James grabbed the guide and threw her down the stairs. It's also said that the ghost of James did appear behind the guide before she was thrown down the flight of stairs. Later on, Loretta gathered some friends over and held a seance, and they apparently really did make contact with the spirit of James T. Anderson. And he was very, very angry. He even pounded the table and threw the table down, breaking it and shattering it. Now, James T. Anderson is buried on the property. As we said before, there is a graveyard on the property as well. He and his family made their presences known to the staff, Loretta, and her family. When Loretta's mother came to visit, she was hit by a wave of grief suddenly, and she had to leave after only minutes of visiting. Loretta's mother warned her that she would experience the death of one of her own children. They would die in a creek. Now, it's thought that Loretta's psychic gift is thought to have been passed down to her by her own mother, Clara. After some years, and while Loretta was on tour, her eldest son, Benny Lynn, was out riding his horse near the creek. This is when he was tragically thrown from his horse and he drowned in the creek. On that very same day, Loretta suffered a life-threatening stroke and slipped into a coma for 3 days. When she awoke, she already knew that her eldest son had died. Now, strangely enough, Benny Lin was missing for 3 days before his family found him in the creek. And when Loretta's husband came in to tell her about the death of Benny, she already knew, and she simply told him that she already knew what had happened. And our last ghostly apparition that we're going to talk about tonight, this is the lady on the balcony. Now, the balcony is another extremely actively haunted spot on this plantation. The large balcony in front of the house is said to be haunted by Beulah Anderson. One day, as the story goes, as Loretta was returning home, she saw a woman standing on the balcony. But at first, she thought it was her nanny, Gloria. But at second glance, she realized that it was not Gloria at all. When Loretta asked Gloria who else was in the house, Gloria informed her that no one else was home and it was just her and the kids. Loretta recalled seeing a woman on the balcony wearing white, pacing back and forth and wringing her hands as if something terrible had happened. So they both went up to the balcony to investigate, but they found nothing. Now, Loretta believes that this spirit was the ghost of a woman who had lost a child. As we mentioned before, Beulah Anderson is the woman who is thought to have died 2 weeks after the death of her infant son. She is also seen crying mournfully as well, the spirit of this Beulah Anderson. Whether it's visitors, staff, or family, people have reported seeing full-bodied apparitions atop the stairs, the balcony, and the walkway leading up to the house, and staff have continuously had to straighten framed albums along the walls, only to find them crooked again. The ranch's manager has said that the spirits inhabit the house will definitely do things to make their presence known. A visitor to the ranch and her family have reported when they took photos of the area, the pictures showed a thick gray fog that was not visible to the naked eye. There was no fog or mist in the area at all that day, and the family did not know the history of the house or its grounds. There were no more than a few campfires in the area, but the visitor was able to capture a few orbs on film as well. The Travel Channel aired a special about the haunted house in 2003, and Loretta Lynn was on Celebrity Ghost Stories, as we mentioned before, with a one-hour special talking about her ghostly experiences. And also, if you guys want to watch that episode, you can find it either on a Lifetime Network, or you can find it on Facebook. No, not on Facebook, sorry. On YouTube.com. Sometimes they will air full episodes of Celebrity Ghost Stories and you can watch it for yourselves. And that concludes the haunting of Hurricane Mills Plantation. I hope you guys liked that episode. Thank you guys for listening and I will see you guys in the outro. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I want to thank you guys for allowing me to do these podcasts for nearly 2 years and making 6 seasons of Demimond Paranormal podcasts. It's really fun and I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing the research and I hope you guys enjoy listening to it. So without any further ado, I wish you guys a good night and I will see you right back here for an all new episode of Demimond Paranormal. I don't know what kind of topic we're going to do, but rest assured it'll be something spooky. Alright, with that being said, I wish you guys a good night. Stay safe, make good choices, be kind to one another. And as always, remember to read up on your ghost stories and keep an open mind. You never know what may be lurking around the corner. Oh, and as always, I'm Tori, your host for each and every episode. And I will see you next time. Toodles!